Amen. How many believe that? Amen. Amen. That God's mercy did rewrite your life. Amen. And sisters, be seated. I'm convinced that things are different for me now than what it would have been if the Lord had not gotten involved with me. And so I am a firm believer that mercy rewrote my life. Welcome to the house of the Lord this morning. I want to recognize you as the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you belong to Him.
Amen.
You don't belong to a man. You don't belong to an organization. But you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. And Him as your husband, that makes Him responsible for you.
That's
you
right.
Realize I'm not responsible for you, or none of the other ministers or maybe friends are responsible for you. The Lord Jesus Christ is. And so we can have confidence in that. We can put all of our efforts and belief and confidence in the Word of God and follow after what He has for us. So we thank Him for the provisions He has. If you have your Bibles, we'll go ahead and open to Psalms 127. And just wanted to say welcome to Mr. and Mrs. Matthew Wheeler this morning. Amen. A new beginning. Amen. We love the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Brother Perryman, you have a family down below? Down in the place? Okay. I'd just like to ask the church to join together in prayer for Brother Perryman's family.
Yes, amen.
The Lord will touch their hearts. And that all the years of his prayer and service before the Lord, that God will bring some fruit to that. I know He will. Let's just pray. Psalms chapter 127, verse 1. It says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. Let's just bow our hearts to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we want to come to you this morning in prayer once again. Lord, we're so thankful of your blessings upon our lives. Thank you for the provisions, the pathway that you have before us, Lord. God, that each one of us are before you, ever before you, Lord, before your sight. God, that you have made provisions for us, that you have called us by name. Lord, that you have spoken words pertaining to our life. You sent forth your commandments, Lord, and your word to strengthen us. God, and to prepare a place for us in this hour, that we might be nourished and kept in the midst of our enemies. We thank you for that, Lord, and we want to pull upon your promises this morning, Lord, to ask God that you would let them be manifest, that you would bring them to pass, that you would vindicate them before us, Lord. God, that we could assemble and bind together as a local body of believers, Lord, that we would just recognize ourselves as being such, and that you are the one to lead and guide us. We just pray, Lord, that you give us the liberty that we need this morning in thy word, and speak the things, Lord, that you would have spoken. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. And you can be seated. Praise the Lord. Amen. We thank God for his goodness to us. We thank him for everything that he has for us. Psalms chapter 127, verse 1. Except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build it. This morning, I just want to call this the builder of the house. And you'll see where I'm going with that in just a little bit. I have to be careful about where I'm stepping back here. I might run into the drums. Last week, we spoke to you about having God's answer. And we talked about how that this entire world is, Brother Branham, I didn't say this last week, but I'll say it now because it comes to mind, that every nation under heaven belongs to Satan. He's in control of them. I guess I could say except for Israel, because God's going to have his way with them. But everything around us, you know, when they put out a new product, you know, I'll say maybe a phone or whatever it is, they put out a new product, rest assured that Satan's agenda is wrapped up in that product. In other words, the effect that that can have on you, if Satan has his way, you know, I'm not saying you can't have a cell phone or a computer. I'm just saying that Satan, in everything around us, he puts his little agenda in there, and it's very powerful, and it's there to capture our attention. And if he has his way, what happens in our lives because of that thing that he's brought before us is that he'll come along, and through all that, we will be taken down the road and pushed into the mold that Satan wants us to be pushed into. And so it's just all around us. Everything, just almost the air we breathe, is saturated with Satan's program. And we talked about how that's the condition that we're facing out there right now. That's what we're facing in this world. Yeah. Brother Branham, you know, I would say through, if you ask me, you know, it's just my own canary brain thinking, I would say, this is a terrible day to live in. I despise so many things that Satan has put out there, especially those things that's tripping up our young people. I despise it. But a prophet, to look through a prophet's eyes, he said this was the greatest day we could live in. And so I realized that I need my thinking to give way to his thinking, because I take it that he was presenting God's thought on the matter, that if we could catch the revelation, catch the vision of God, we'll find out that God has something much greater for us right now, though we look out and see Satan's Eden actually coming to that Eden condition. And so we talked last week about how that we have God's answer, that throughout every age, no matter what went forth, no matter what beast it was, or whether it was the white horse or the red horse, black horse, pale horse, whatever, and we've found out that we're under the pale horse now, a conglomeration of all those things, that no matter what it was in any hour, God would anoint his people with an anointing that would be a challenge for what Satan was doing. But the way Brother Branham presented it was that the beast that went out to meet the challenge. So when that white horse rider went forth, then God anointed his church with this a spirit that had characteristics like a lion, so that they could go out and meet that first horse rider. And so what we brought it down to was that no matter what happens in the world, I don't care what happens out there. I don't care what kind of gadget Satan comes up with. I don't care how far the medical system goes. They might be able to, we were joking around the other day about being able to send a DNA specimen in the mail and in a few weeks show up somewhere to get a new arm put on. I don't care if they do get so good that they can do those things. Whatever it is, it's just a substitute, and it's not what God has for us. It's just man's answer to it, or Satan's answer through Eden. But whatever that is, God will anoint his people to have what it takes to withstand that enemy in this hour. And so that's why I titled that last week, we have God's answer. If we look at the situation and we go out and say, God, what about it? What is your answer about what we're facing out here? What can we do? What do you think about this? Then God has said, I'll tell you what I think. And he sent forth an eagle anointing. And that is what has come upon us to withstand what's out there. And so what we want to do is we want to throw everything that we are into that eagle anointing, into what has come through that channel. Because that's where our victory lies. That's how it comes. And I don't know. It's always been baffled to me that someone would be consider themselves a student or a partaker of this glorious message that God has given us, which is just a furtherment of the same revelation of Jesus Christ throughout the ages. Why someone would say, you know, we have reached 12th grade level, but they want to conduct their lives on a 5th grade level.
Right.
You hear the phrase that says we live below our privileges. And how true that is. When God has brought to us what we need, of course, it's like a tool laying there. You have to reach out and you have to get it. And you have to become skilled at how to use that tool. You might be clumsy with it at first. But if we follow God's program and use that exercise to those things that God gives us, we will become better at using the tools that God has given us to meet our enemy in this hour. But if we don't do that, and of course we might not. And I know it's a lifelong journey on how to get yourself out of the way and how to take the things that God gives us and use them for the purpose that He gave us. But that's what we're here for. You know, the Bible is the Word of God. And only the Bible has life in it. And I say that, we know that we have life in us, hopefully, if you have the Holy Ghost. But what I'm trying to get to is that the Bible is the words of life. And a person can come along and might could excite some group of people and make them become ever so enthusiastic about his message and his word. But if his message and his word is not found in the Bible, then it's dead.
Amen.
The only life comes from the Bible, and therefore anything that goes forth that's of God must tie back to the Scriptures. And so, you know, we put a lot of confidence in a prophet in our day. We put a lot of confidence in all the prophets that God sent. And so we do that. But you see, the life that God lived through William Branham, that life made our Bible come alive. That life made me look at the Scriptures and realize that, you know what? This word applies to my day. It's just not just a God of history, not just something in the past. But the same God, the same healing, the same power to deliver that I read about in the Bible, that is for me to this day. That's why that phrase is to lift him up out of history. Because he was a historical God. But God used this prophet today to bring the truth to us, bring it to a reality to us so that we can see that the same God would perform for you and I. And I want to say that to you right now as a freshly starting here in this assembly. The same God that has done things for other assemblies, the same God that has proved His Word throughout all ages, that same God can establish you.
Amen.
And will show Himself alive among you.
Amen.
And will do great things among you if you just let Him.
Amen.
Just let Him do that. And so, you know, the Bible is a record of how God interacted with man. Did you know that? If you look in the Scriptures, you'll see all kinds of stories about men. Men, like the Scripture said, Elijah was a man of like passion, just like us. Elijah was a man that had desires, and he had burdens, and he could be sad, he could be happy. So was Moses. So was all the rest of them in the Bible. But you'll find out that just common people like you and I, that God would take a common person, and they would be just a normal person, walking the walk of a normal person. And God would come down and anoint that life.
Right.
And that life, He would raise it to be in service to Him.
Amen.
And through that life, God would change nations, change all kinds of things, just by one person being surrendered. Well, what would it be if it would be a whole group of people that would be surrendered?
Amen.
But it would be just common people that God would touch their life, and because of that anointing and that touch, they would be totally different people after that.
Amen.
And they would be in God's service, and God would change the situation because of His projecting Himself through that people. And so the record of the Bible is just that. It's just a record of how God come down and interacted with people. How that they were sinners, how that they made mistakes, and that through their frustrations they might do things wrong. But yet God, through His grace, would still come down, and He would show how that He would work with that weakness in those people, and He would anoint them and rise them above their weaknesses and accomplish His word. Now, if that's not the truth about every one of us on an individual basis, I don't know what is. Because you and I would not be seeking God if it hadn't been for God causing us to seek Him. And so that's the story. God has come down and, you know, interacted with us. So this Bible is just an example. Why am I saying that? Because I want you to know that the same God that changed the lives of people in the Bible and used them for His glory, that's the same God that will use you.
Amen.
That will anoint you and cause you to be something different than you would be in yourself. Brother Branham, let us know that when God vindicates His word, the way He does it is He brings it to pass. And when that vindicated word is brought to pass, and that's what vindicates it, that becomes light that you and I can walk in.
Just the scripture saying, well, a virgin will, she will conceive. You know, you couldn't walk in the light of that because everybody had their own idea of what that meant.
That's right.
But when God come along and he anointed that and he brought that to pass and he made it clear what he meant when he said that, then people could walk in that as light because it's truth.
Right.
Whether there's, if there's a question upon it, well, you can't put a whole lot in that yet. But when God vindicates it and brings it to pass, then you can put that, you can put your confidence in that, and that's a light that you can walk in to light your pathway. And that's what the living word is for every day. The living word that has been manifested throughout every day, that's what has become the light for us to walk in. And when we do that, it gives us great advantage. It gives us great advantage. It gives us. And when I'm saying that, I'm going to bring it back to what I understand. We understand it's been this way throughout every age, but in our age, we're standing under a prophet's message. We stand underneath something God has given us as truth. And to walk in that truth that God has vindicated as light gives us advantage over things that the rest of the world doesn't have. And I'll say this because it's one of the things that come to mind that you can very easily glean this out of. And that is, for instance, the condition that the world is in with marriage and divorce. They have no covering for their sin. They don't. But those who follow, thus saith the Lord, in this message, and I know that sounds cultish. Every move of God has cultish tendencies about it. It's always been that way. And a lot of them that don't have God in it, they're cults. But with marriage and divorce, with a prophet, a vindicated prophet, a pillar of fire that came down visibly. They let your children out of school and they could watch it. Coming up and down on the mountain, that God visiting that prophet, giving him permission to come back to the people and tell them what he was going to tell them about marriage and divorce. And that is that to remain as you are, and don't you ever do that again, and you teach your children not to do that. But Brother Branham made it clear, now this is to my people, or the people that's following this message, that believes me to be God's prophet, that God has given me permission, like he gave Moses permission, like he gave Paul permission. He's given me permission to tell you that because of all this scribbled up mess, that you have no chance. But under this message, God has said, I forgive you, I'm letting you remain as you are, just don't do it again. Well, the rest of the world don't have that grace. So there's benefits to following after the truth of God. The truth will take hide off of you a lot of times. But the tremendous benefits that are there by following after the truth of God. It empowers us to do things that others couldn't do. And when I say that, I don't mean ourselves. But saints, we need to believe. We need to believe that there is deliverance in our midst.
Amen.
That the rest of the world don't have.
Right.
If, as the phrase says, well, if there's only one going in the rapture in Arkansas, well, it's me. Well, let's believe if there's only one assembly of people in the entire world that's actually going in rapture, that actually has God in their midst to the place that He can break away the effects of sin and set people on a pathway of righteousness. Let's believe that's among us.
Yeah.
Let's don't look to ourselves. Let's don't look at our failures.
Right.
Let's don't look at the battle scars, and some of them very fresh battle scars. Let's don't look at that.
Amen.
But let's turn to Him and look to the One who has promised He would be in our midst, and look to Him and watch and see what He'll do. Because if we start out trying to put our confidence in man, we're going to be disappointed probably before service is over.
Right.
But if we put our confidence in God and watch, give Him a chance.
Right.
Give God a chance to prove His word.
Right.
And see what He'll do among you.
Good.
He empowers us to do things that we couldn't do.
Right.
And I'm saying that meaning Him through us. What our surrender to His truth. To be able. We should believe that if the whole world prays for somebody in their sickness and they're not healed, that a humble group of believers could, and God will answer.
Amen.
We have to believe it that way, and so not to. And I'm not trying to tell you make yourself high-minded and some great people. That's not what I mean. But I'm saying look at the promise of God and look what He said He will do if you can believe,
Amen.
And put that out in front of you. Put the word out in front of you and let that go before you. And when sicknesses rise up, put that before you.
Right.
Not our strength.
Right.
Not our weaknesses. But His strength.
Amen.
Put that before you and watch what He'll do. As a new assembly, we do need God's help.
Amen.
We need His guidance in everything. All things. And everything that we are. And everything that we will become, whatever it is, let it come from Him and Him alone. Let Him be the one to establish it. Because you know, you really don't have anything unless it was given to you.
That's right.
You know, I got the scriptures here and I'll read it to you. And you're familiar with, you've read your Bible, but 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7 says, "Who maketh thee to differ one from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou had not received it?" Now, and so what reason why I'm reading that there is because everything we have come from God. Anything. You say, "I have strength, I have breath, I have skills, I can sing, I can play instruments, whatever it is, I can pray." But all of those things come from God. They're blessings from God. And Paul is saying here that we should never approach it from the point that we have anything in ourselves. Because everything we have was given to us. And if it was given to us, then we are a blessed people, obviously. We're a blessed people because God has given it to us, and it should create a humility in us to know that He has imparted to us that blessing. But under no circumstances should we ever believe that we are something in ourselves and look what I've got or look what we've got. Under no circumstances. Because it all come from God. He's the one that gives us those things. And so Paul is speaking here. Speaking on that and saying we've all received it and we should never think that it is ourselves that have done it. And so anything that we will become in this little assembly, let it be what He wants. Let it not be by what I want or what you want, but let it be by what God wants it to become and what He wants it to be. What would it be? What would God want us to be? And I'm going to ascribe what He says for the entire universal bride of Christ. I'm going to apply that to this little group right here. And I'm going to say that what He wants you to be is He wants you to be a glorious church without spot, without wrinkle, without or any such thing. That's what He wants you to be. To take the promises of God. And I know every one of us would say, you know what? God would think of me and think of us and want us to be that people? Yes, God would.
Amen.
Because that's His program. And so that's what He wants to do. And I believe He wants you to be a church without spot, without wrinkle or any such thing, any blemish. But the key to that is the rest of that scripture, that He would present to Himself a church. So you see, we don't, even though we have a desire to be that glorious church, we have a desire to please God, we have not the ability in ourselves to do it. We don't even have the right mental faculty to produce it. You realize that 2/3 of us is fallen in nature. Our flesh is fallen, and even our spirit, our thinking, our imagination, conscience, memory, reason, affection, all those things, if it's not under the leadership of the Holy Ghost, it immediately goes back to that fallen direction and thinks in the fallen way. And so the only thing that we have that's 100% God is that gene, that soul down inside. That's God. And of course, that's the one that matters. That's the one that will determine whether you're going to be there or not. And not these other things. And so I believe He wants us to be that glorious church, but we have not the ability in ourselves to do it, neither in the flesh nor in our own thinking. But God said He would do it. He would provide that for us, and He would make us that church, glorious, without spot or wrinkle, and I believe we will be. If we go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and I'll read it to you, Paul brings us into a clear understanding of this arrangement. Paul says, I would to God that you would bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. For I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. You know, Paul was sent to get that wife. He was to go out and get that Gentile, establish that Gentile work, which would be the wife of Jesus Christ at some point. And Paul is saying, I have espoused you. I have brought you into this marriage arrangement with the Lord Jesus Christ, but there's a trial period here. And I fear, I'll read on, lest that by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit which you have not received, or another gospel which you have not accepted, you might well bear with him. So Paul is bringing this analogy to us, that the bride of Jesus Christ and her sacredness to be for Jesus Christ and Him alone is just like the sacredness of a woman to her husband. And Paul goes back and brings the parallel. If you want to know about serpent seed, if somebody wants to ask you, well, prove me serpent seed in the Bible, you can see right here that Paul is taking the condition of the church and the sacredness of that church's womb, the belief of their heart, to be for the Word of God and that alone, that is like what happened in the garden. That if someone comes along and preaches a different word, somebody comes along and preaches a different Jesus, you receive a different gospel. His concern was is that if that happened, he would not be able to present the church as a chaste virgin to Christ. That was the concern. And so he brings that parallel to us to let us know that this glorious church, without spot or without blemish, without wrinkle, that would mean that she was only touched by the Word and the Word alone, that she would come clean before Jesus Christ, and He could find her as a virtuous woman. He could find her at her womb as one that had not been touched with another seed, with other. And Paul is saying here with another doctrine. So Paul had preached the truth to present them as an espoused bride for Christ, but he knew that if somebody come along and preached a different doctrine. But between that time and the time Christ came to take His bride, that wife to be, that, well, her womb would be messed up and she wouldn't be that chaste virgin. So Paul is laying that concept out there for us. We know that. And so if He wants us to be a chaste virgin, if He wants us to be that glorious church without spot or wrinkle, I believe that's what He would want. That would mean that our heart would be to the Word of God and the Word of God alone. And not the thoughts of a man, not another doctrine, not something else that somebody else has come along and presented, but only the Word of God and that alone. And so I believe that's what He wants us to be. And so what I'm trying to show you here is that we have, and I'll read the quote in just a moment, we have a sacred vow or sacred responsibility before God as a church and as this assembly. We have a sacred responsibility before God that I'm presenting to you today. And that is to be for Him and Him alone.
Amen.
And to not receive something else. And to not come into this relationship with our own thoughts. Mine or yours. But to let God establish, to let the Word of God establish what we need to be in this assembly. And I'm sorry if some people may not agree with this, but I'm going to speak to you as the bride of Christ. I'm going to speak to you as though you are that bride. And that Satan would try to spoil you to keep you from being that chaste virgin. Because we want Him in our midst. We want to be what He establishes, not something else. And so we want to try and channel everything that we are into what God has provided for us, and let that be all, the only thing that we want to be. And so a church needs to be a chaste virgin, needs to be not be touched by man, by the doctrine of man. In other words, Paul is showing us here that the womb of our mind, I'll say it that way, that if someone come along and preached a different doctrine, you would produce a different life. And that's the problem. If you remember, back in the early church, when Satan come in, begin to work, it was started out, well, it was just some deeds. It became doctrine. It was just a little something that started.
Right.
A little teaching, a little way of doing things. Yeah, infant, no harm to it. Just a spirit kind of working there. But at some point, because it was let to lay there, at some point it became an actual doctrine. It actually became a church, what we know the Catholic Church to be today. And what I'm trying to point out there is that things that start in some little spirit, some little teaching, some little doctrine of some sort, some little way of doing something, if it's not the Word of God, it's a different life. And if it lays there long enough, it will take flesh.
Right.
It will become flesh at some point. And that's what happens there. So if Paul is saying, you know, if somebody comes and preaches a different doctrine, a different teaching, you receive a different gospel, then guess what? It's going to produce a different baby.
Right.
It's going to produce a flesh and blood breathing and believing of whatever that seed is, and then you'll have that to deal with. It's much easier to deal with things before they're birthed.
That's right.
Because once they're birthed, they take upon themselves a life of their own.
That's right.
And then in order to get them out of the way, it takes a murder. It takes a destroying, a killing in order to get them out of the way.
Right.
So it's better if things are stopped long before they become a birth.
Right.
Long before they even become something that's trying to form and be birthed. And so Paul is showing us here that the womb, you know, that if you receive something different, it's the womb of your mind. It goes down into your heart, and it becomes what Satan wants it to be, I guess you could say, if it's not the Word of God. And so we, as the Bride of Christ, we have a sacred trust before God to be true to Him and Him alone. And that means to put our own ideas to the side and listen to what the Word says. Brother Bram says in Invisible Union, the Bride of Christ, he says, what a sacred trust. What a responsibility to a woman. Now, see why she's a type of the church? Talking about the physical woman. See why she's a type of the church? Which has the same responsibility as a woman has, a sacred responsibility to her motherhood and to her vows and to her husband. The church has a sacred responsibility to prayer, and to the Word, and to Christ, just the same as the woman has. And as a woman drifts off with another man, when the church goes off on these institutional programs, now listen to what Brother Ram says, when this church goes off to institutional programs, and building programs, and schools, and so forth. Now this is what he's saying. Now that's obviously not everything that could be said about denominational mindset. But listen to what he says. He says, a woman has a sacred right and a sacred vow to her husband to live true to him and to him alone. And so the church has this same responsibility and trust to Christ and to the Word and to prayer and to the things of God. And he says, when a woman goes off after another man's wife, he likened that and says, now, so when a church, which should be to Christ and Christ alone, when they go off like this woman does after another man, and he says, goes off on these institutional programs and building programs and schools and so forth. Brother Man says, I have nothing against them. They're all right. They serve their purpose. But Jesus never said, go make schools. He said, preach the Word. And that's where they neglect it. And so, if we don't produce the life, I'll say it this way, if we don't produce the life of Christ, if we don't surrender to Him and let Him produce through us, there will be a different life that gets produced.
That's right.
It's just the way it is. So we have a sacred right, we have a responsibility to God to watch over that and make sure and careful, be careful. That what comes into our hearts is the Word, and it's Christ and Him alone, because anything that comes in there will produce. You plant seed in the ground, that same ground is going to produce the life of the seed.
That's right.
Because it's the bedding ground. And that's what He's showing us, that she has a womb, a bedding ground, where life can be produced. And her job, her responsibility, is to be true to that one who is her husband and make sure that she only lives a life and produces a life from Him and Him alone. And so, He's showing us that we have that responsibility. But He says, now, look what the church has done. Just like the natural women in the world have gone off not being faithful to their husbands, the churches are not faithful to the Word. And they go off, and guess what? They start producing something. They start bearing children to something, but they're not children of the Word. And some of the things that you will see happen when their mindset is away from the Word, they'll start building programs. They'll start trying to do institutionalized things. They'll start trying to build names for themselves. And all that kind of thing. And that's because their mind is not to the Word, but it's off of that. And now whatever else comes along can be planted in there, and it's going to produce that kind of life. Brother Graham goes on to say in that same message, Invisible Union, he said, so you see, she's pregnated with something because she's bringing forth members all the time. She's constantly bringing forth something. But see, her responsibility is to bring forth Christ. Amen. Bring forth the Word. And Brother Branham says, he says, I'm not against those things. You know, a church has to have a building. If a church grows in membership and the building's not big enough, they have to do something to accommodate the people. That's not what he's talking about. And that example I gave you is that God is adding to the body, and the consequence is that you have to do something to accommodate that. But what he's talking about is when people get their mind off of saving souls and get their mind off of the purpose of the Word of God and start trying to build all these names and all these things for themselves, they get the cart before the horse. That's the problem. It's not to say that a church that has a big building because they need that big of a building, because it's not to say that's wrong. But when people seek after programs and they seek after things to build a name for themselves, whatever form it is, without the character of Christ being there producing that to begin with, then there's something wrong. And so Brother Branham is speaking that, and he says they go off after those things. And we will bring forth something. And my encouragement to you today is that's something that we bring forth. Let it be Christ the Word.
Praise God.
Her womb is a place. Listen. A woman's, that's the difference between a man and a woman. I know we have a mixed audience or whatever, but you know, when a man is a dad, becomes father, you know, the only kind of, and I've said this many times before, but the only life that a man can give is his own life. It's him. He has no choice. But a woman has a choice. She has a choice of the seed she can receive. And that's what we're speaking of here. The church. He didn't take that away. The church. He says, there you are. You got a womb. It's supposed to be sacred and to the Word of God. But something else can come along and be planted there. And God is not going to take that womb and say, whoa, no. Don't produce that seed. It's a womb. It's got everything it needs to produce life when the seed's placed there. And it will do it. And God doesn't stop it. So what am I saying? We need to be careful and know that we as an assembly, that God wants to establish something here. And it needs to be Him, because Satan has many ways, many, many ways to produce things.
Right. Thank God.
I plant a garden like many of you do. I'll take out a section, and this is for tomato plants. And I plant my tomato plants in there. And I couldn't tell you how many other kinds of weeds and other kinds of grasses and things try to come up out of that same ground.
Right.
See, narrow is the way, but broad, right? Narrow is the way that leads to life, but broad is the pathway that leads to destruction. all kinds of seeds that Satan wants to plant in there. Could be lust, it could be false doctrine, could be anything. He wants, because it's a broad way. He just, whatever he can do, because he just wants to stop the growth of the Word of God. But narrow is that pathway. And we have that before us today as an assembly. And a responsibility that the womb of our heart stay sacred. And to say only for our Lord Jesus Christ. Only for Him and not another. That means that every one of us have to come to this and say, my thoughts are out. Right? Every one of us have to do this. Say, my thoughts are out. And God, let you establish what you want to be established here. So that womb was the place that births take place. Now, I want to point this out to you as an assembly. We say, well, what is the church for? We know as the gospel has come to each one of us and it changed our lives. But God has it so arranged that you don't live that to yourself. God does not want us to live our Christian life to ourselves. Our Christian life is to be shared. It's to be lived for others. And God has arranged it to where our Christian experience that we belong to a body. He wants us to belong to a body of believers.
That's right.
And the scriptures tell us that each of the members of the body, these members bring edification to other parts of the body. They bring needs and things like that. And so God has designed it so that each one of us in our different nature, when He saves us, we each have something to contribute to a body. And that entire body can benefit by all of those different things that each one of us can contribute to the body. So I'm saying this little fellowship, this little group, each one of us, as Christ moves and beats in the heart of each one of us, we have something to contribute to each other. And we become a body. We become a wife.
Thank God.
A wife to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that what? So that the seed, Word of God, can be placed within this environment that we have, that Word can be placed here and a birth can take place. So, you know, you and I, we believe that inside of us was a predestinated gene Word of God that lay dormant. And let's just say that Brother Bryant here, that he was a sinner come off the street this morning and come in and sat in here, that here we are as the Bride of Christ, a functioning, living, breathing body of Christ here, with a womb, the environment and the conditions where a birth can take place. And God brings a predestinated seed gene of God, the Word, and puts that Word in the midst of the environment that's the right kind of environment, and that Word takes birth. You see what I'm saying? We have that responsibility, that call of God as an assembly of believers. That we stay channeled to the Word and that alone. And that our business is we're about His business.
Yeah.
And that the womb of our heart, that when someone comes in, and leave it up to God to bring the people in. I'm not saying don't go out and witness to people. But He'll bring in who He wants. And if we do our part right, if we're sacred with our walk before God, then when that seed comes in, it'll birth. And God will add to the body. God will add to the church.
Amen.
You and I don't have to add nothing. We can't add nothing.
No.
But we can surrender and He will add. Does that make sense?
Yes.
He will add to it. And so, we continue to assemble together. Something will birth. And we want it to be the Word of God. And so we can see very clearly here that Jesus Christ is our agenda. I know I'm going to say this because natural type spiritual, and you have to teach things that way also, but you wives that are married, your husband is your agenda. He is. And so the scripture says, Genesis, that, you know, when her desire will be to her husband. That's right. It's a desire of a woman to please her husband. It's just natural. It's desire for the woman to want to do that. That's what's in her because of that. And that desire, Satan wants to pervert that desire.
That's right.
Satan wants to take that and use it for something else. But it's there for a purpose. God has it there for a purpose. And it's only right for the church to want to please Him. to want to serve Him and worship Him and want to assemble together and be that sacred womb that He can multiply His life through. That's what we want. It's natural desire. How many can say you don't want that? We all want that. But guess what? It's a very sacred channel of doing that. But millions of ways for that to be perverted. Millions of ways for Satan to come in and stop the movement of God in this body of believers.
That's exactly right.
And rest assured, He'll rise up something to stop it. He'll rise up something to do it. And because we know that. Because any time that someone wants to do something for God, well, you know Satan's going to be present to do it. And so I'm just calling our attention upon these processes so we can look at this and say, you know what? I have a sacred duty before God to stay in prayer. And to into the Word, and to have my mind upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and to serve Him. And if I, each one of us as an individual, we do that, the environment among us will be right. And births will take place.
Amen.
We don't need to go out and try and talk someone else into coming. You know, if they're sinners, and you know, you live a life and they'll be drawn to that. But what am I trying to say? We don't want to proselyte. We don't want to go out and try and do this or try and do that. Let's just be a people who love God.
Amen.
Just be a people who love God, love one another, come together and stay close to God in prayer and be in that channel that we're talking about here. And let God bring the seed along to produce life in the midst of us. But let's make sure our womb is sacred. You see what I mean? And God will take care of the rest. But let's make sure that we keep the womb of our heart undenominated. Unorganized to some system of man. But to love the Lord Jesus Christ with all of our hearts and Him alone. And let Him be our agenda. In Luke chapter 14, verse 7, Jesus says this. He puts forth a parable to those which were bidden. I guess He was brought into a place there. And He watched all the people coming in. And He watched where people would sit down. Some people would sit in some places. And some of them sat in the high places. And I guess when the way they gathered, you know, that if you were a dignitary, you'd get to sit up high. And if you were somebody that didn't mean anybody, you'd have to sit down here in some inconspicuous place because you couldn't be seen by nobody or something like that. So Jesus in Luke 14, verse 7, he says, and He put forth a parable to those which were bidden when He marked how they chose out the chief rooms. So He watched all these people coming in. They were taking their high places and they were all, you know. And Jesus is watching this. And He says, He says this parable to them. He says, when thou art bidden of any man to a wedding. What's going on right now? We go to the marriage supper. What's going on right now? When thou art bidden to a wedding, this is for you, church. When thou art bidden to a wedding, bidden of any man to a wedding, sit not down in the highest room, lest a more honorable man than thou art bidden, thou be bidden of him, and he that bade thee and him come and say to thee, give this man place, and thou begin with shame to take the lowest room. But when thou art bidden, go and sit in the lowest room, that when he that bade thee cometh, he may say unto thee, friend, go up higher. Then thou shalt have worship in the presence of them that sit at meat with thee. For whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and him that humbleth himself shall be exalted. So the Lord is giving this parable, and you know how the parables work. And He says, listen, when you're bidden to a wedding, and you're a guest there or whatever, you come in, don't take the high seat. Don't come in as some dignitary and say, well, you know, look at my status and I really belong up here. Jesus said, don't do that. Even if you do have honorable characteristics, don't do that. But take the low seat and let him that has bid thee, let him take you from that low seat and put you where he wants you.
Amen.
And if that happens, you won't be brought to shame. If that happens, you'll be brought into honor.
Amen.
And I would say that to you. I would say this that to this assembly today. We don't have to be anything great. As a matter of fact, I'm going to tell you, stay away from that.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, stay humble. I'm going to tell you, don't seek after any kind of imagery whatsoever before the people of this world. But to let your minds be on the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let Him be your agenda. And look to Him and let Him produce the birth in the midst. And He will take this assembly and He'll put it right where He wants it to be in the entire body of Christ. And we'll have rejoicing when we know God has placed us where He wants us, and nobody will move us from that position.
Amen.
But if we come in and try to set ourselves somewhere we don't belong, guess what? It will fall. We'll fall from that, and shame would come.
That's right.
Amen.
But to walk in humility. Just humble ourselves.
Amen.
That's what we need to do.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
I realize to do that's absolutely opposite of human nature.
Right.
But I just said I put ourselves out on a limb. I took you out on a limb with me a while ago when I said that. That having the Word of God in this day empowers us to do something that the rest of them can't do. The rest of the world just can't do it. And so if we'll follow after His truth, I believe God will make sure that we'll wind up where He wants us to be. So let's be humble. Let's let God build the building or build the assembly. Let's let Him do what He desires to do. And meanwhile, while He does that, let's love one another.
Amen.
Let's love Him, love one another. And let's live each day for Him and each other. And let's ask God to give us the burden for souls that we should have if we don't already have it. And pray and ask God to lead us where we need to go to witness or whatever we do on the job. Let Him establish, because when God establishes, it can't be torn down. And God will add to this body. Let me remind you, the early church. And God added to that church daily, such as should be saved. Right? God did that. Not the apostles, but God added. So we look around, we see our numbers today. I'm comfortable. But if God wants to add numbers, that's fine. He doesn't want to add numbers, then I suppose that would be fine too. I say that with a hiccup in what I was saying there, because I know that where life is, births take place. Births take place. We don't want to be stagnant. And you know what? A church is made up of individual believers. And individual believers, if you become stagnant in your walk, the church will become stagnant.
Right.
You see? And so I'm encouraging all of us to, as an individual, to keep that sacred call of God for the womb of our heart to be pure.
Thank God.
Because what you feed on will manifest.
It will.
And if we're feeding on something other than the Word of God, it will manifest and it will be a problem. And for the body, the local body, listen, if my finger gets corrupt with some kind of bacteria, guess what the rest of the body has to put up with?
Right.
The same bacteria. You see what I'm saying? So we do have a responsibility to this body, each one of us. And we want to be as careful as we can. We all make mistakes, we know that, but the body has a cleansing mechanism in itself.
That's right.
And we believe that. By the life that's in us, we know that. So church, by the life of God that's in it, can straighten out problems. It can cleanse itself and can heal. There's that. If a natural body has has the mechanisms to the immune system to fight off things, well, so does the church. So does the church, because the life that God has given us has that. And so let us love one another, love God, live for each other. But most of all, let us be humble. And I'm going to read the quote from Brother Branham that says, "Humble thy," from the message, "Humble Thyself." Now, Brother Bram says, "Now surely after all these years on the field and around the world and seeing different people, I ought to know a little bit about the gate to enter in at. And if you want to get somewhere with God, never let an arrogant spirit ever come around you. Don't let no malice come in, no matter what anybody's done. If they're wrong, don't you never build a complex against that person. See? You be sweet and kind, and remember, God loved you when you were in sin. And if the Spirit of God is in you, you love that other person when he's in wrong. See? Just pray for them and love one another. Above everything, love God and love one another. And be humble with God and around one another. And God will bless it. And it's hard telling what He will do. Usually when a church begins to get in numbers and get to getting a little bigger or something like that, then they get away from that real thing. The real thing. The real thing is not Coke. The real thing he's speaking of here is humility. That when you go to getting in numbers, they get away from humility. You see what happens? And you say, well, I don't consider us a big group, neither do I. But I'm showing you the thing that we must watch for. You must have that sacred womb for God and not let anything come along that would be, you know. And I realize some of us feel like we come out of battles. And we've got things, you know, maybe that's fresh in our mind and things like that. But I'm saying cover all that with prayer. As I said last week, let this be, let that old chapter be closed out and let a new chapter be started now.
Amen.
And forget about that old chapter. There's nothing back there for us.
No.
Nothing that we need to go back and unless you feel like there's something that you've left undone, you need to do that if it's hurting your conscience. But other than that, let's press on and let's focus our attention upon the Lord Jesus Christ and what He can do in our midst.
Amen.
And let not the things of the past bother you. Press toward that mark and forget those things that are behind, like Paul said. Press toward those things and don't, you know, you understand, you read between the lines, you know what I'm saying. You'll be met with challenges. You'll be met with things from the past. Just be humble. Just love one another. Don't let something rise up. Surely, many of us have learned a lot of things. Like Brother Branham had said. Surely we've learned some things and we know a little bit more about what the right approach is to get God's favor among us. And that's the thing that we want more than anything else is God's favor among us, because if His presence is here, we might not be a perfect people. Just like Israel wasn't a perfect people. And Brother Branham pointed that out when they had that situation with Balaam and Balak. You know, they went all through all the same things that Israel had. They had the same kind of sacrifices and all that. But they had failed to recognize that God was in that camp with Israel. And they might have had their peripherals, because we all have it. God in our heart and we have failures in our flesh. God in the church and failures in our church. See? But that doesn't hinder God. God still works. And so that's the way it is. And they failed to recognize that God was in the midst of that people, and it cost them dearly because of it. And that's what I just want. Just remember, we have failures, but let's keep God in our midst. Let's keep God in our hearts. And stay humble before Him. Stay humble before one another. And as Brother Bram said, there's no telling what God will do.
That's right.
In our midst. And I believe that. And I'm looking for that. We've seen God and just people we've been acquainted with do things the doctor said couldn't be done. And you know, we're looking for body change someday. And I realize that the world would say, well, that's not possible. But all things are possible to them that believe
it.
And so we want to put ourselves, and we want to be on track to where we're living every day in the realm of all things are possible. Whether it's in our personal life, if it's family problems, job problems, whatever it is, whether it's healing for our body, financial, whatever it is, to live daily in the channel of all things are possible. Because we're coming to a morning when God's going to prove that, and death will be swallowed in victory. Amen. Let us bow our hearts and let the musicians come. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your blessings upon our lives, Lord.
I pray, Lord, that you would get in the midst of your people, in the midst of your word, as we know that's where you abide. And bless our hearts, Lord, with a desire to be true to you and not to a man's system. Lord, that in the midst of this age when there's so many things pulling in so many directions, God, let it be said that you are the leader and guide of this assembly, of this people. Let it be said, Lord, that you established and you moved and built this people to be what you want them to be. God, that you would be able to work wonders among us. And that, Lord, whether the world even knows that we exist over here on this little street corner, we want to know that you know we exist, God. We want to know that you're in our midst, Lord. And if the world should look upon us, oh God, let them see you, not us as a people, Lord. We want you to be the image that people see. And God, we just ask that you would bless us in these things. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Amen. Song. More of you. Let us all stand. I mean, want more of him. And more of you. Actually want more of him. I do feel that way, that I've had all kinds of things in this world, but you know what? I don't want anything else in this world. I see that I want him and him alone. Let's sing him. Amen. Yeah.
Let's be dismissed. Go believing. Go praying. Go staying honorable and true to the word. And remember that we need to meet here as soon as service is out, brothers, and decide whether we want to meet as we eat or come back after we eat and discuss some business things that we need to take care of. Amen. So God bless you. Have a nice afternoon.